Thanks, Jace. I wanted, when we were talking beforehand, was on my heart this morning. Wasn't specifically the topic that Jason was on, but as we reflected on it, it seems like they're related, because it said in the end of that passage in 2 Timothy that Jason read, is that there's, in the last days, going to be a people who have a form of godliness, but deny the power of God. And the passages I'm going to read are about weakness and power and the true power of God, and it's in Corinthians, and Paul was trying to help the Corinthians understand that the power they were seeking, it was the wrong power. What they were scheming and what they were looking up to was actually false. They were confused. They thought somehow the power that God was going to give them was going to give them a worldly, soulish authority, that somehow they were going to be able to escape being humbled. They were going to be able to escape the difficulties and the trials and escape taking up the cross and dying. They wanted a power that was going and allowed them to be esteemed in the sight of men, but not esteemed in God's eyes. And when Paul, I'm going to read it, but as you look throughout the letters, Paul repeatedly goes back to the theme of weakness and power and the true power of God. And it's even interesting, in the section I'm going to read, it came clear to me how it even just seems like Paul's telling his testimony a little bit, but he's actually trying to tell the Corinthians, no, this is how God works. It's not just my testimony. It's the testimony of where we can find the true power of God. And in thinking of Jerusalem and Babylon, the testimony of Jerusalem is, as Jason said, those who are willing to die, those who are willing to partake of the sufferings of cross, the sufferings of Christ, and put off the strength that is found in our flesh. And Babylon finds a Christianity where that doesn't have to happen, where somehow our own will, our own strength, our own righteousness doesn't have to be done away with. And that's Babylon, whereas the true Jerusalem says all of those things are garbage and rubbish. And to the extent that God is stripping them away, then give thanks. It hurts, it's difficult, but to the extent it's being stripped away so that you can know the true power of Christ, then praise God. So we'll start in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I know I'm starting, I'll try to keep it succinct. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. It says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And I just, a couple things that stand out here is, did Paul have a place, or had Paul somehow found that weakness was easy for him? Was it easy for Paul to be weak? The answer is found in verse 7. He described it as torment. It was hard. Like, being the way of the cross, it will never become easy. Paul was down the road far enough that he could say to Virgil, like, follow me as I follow Christ. Like, he was way further down the road than any of us, I would go so far as to say. I think I can say that safely. And yet he still found it difficult to be made weak. It was still hard. And he actually asked God that it might leave him. And why would he say that? Why did he say that? Because when he was in the midst of this difficulty, until he heard from God, he actually didn't see the purpose in it. So he was an apostle. He had all these revelations from God, and he was suffering these difficulties in his life. Physical sickness, persecution, insults, all these different things. He was suffering all these things, and he was sitting there going, God, like, please take this from me. Like, surely it would be better if I had the strength to go to this next city. Surely it would be better if I wasn't hindered by all these people chasing me out of town after I've only had the opportunity to share part of what I thought I needed to share with these people. Surely it would be better, God, if this wasn't happening. And he came to the revelation because God showed him that actually, no, Paul, it is better. It is better. And why? Because I want you to build Jerusalem. I want you to build the true church of God. I don't want you building anything that has any sniff of the pride of Paul or arrogance or built by man. So, Paul, it is better that it is this way, because you're going to come to realize that when I'm making you weak, when things are not going according to the plan that you had or according to how you thought it was supposed to be, realize that there is an opportunity for you to find my grace and to be perfected in this weakness. And then I love Paul's response, because he says in verse 10, therefore I am well content. And I look at that and go, Lord, I know I'm not there. I know when the road gets difficult and I'm getting humbled and I'm finding the path hard and I'm finding the fact that I feel weak and I feel distressed or burdened, I struggle to say I am content in this place. But Paul had found the secret. Paul could go into these situations in faith and say, God's power is going to be perfected in me through these difficulties, through these challenges, through sickness, through getting persecuted, through being shipwrecked, and all these things. And you can just read about it, and it is a wonderful story. And there are amazing testimonies in it, but I think we can lose sight of the fact that Paul was a man like you and I, and these things were hard. But in them, he had found the secret, and he was willing to accept this weakness because he knew that in all of this, it was for Christ's sake. He was suffering and being humbled and finding this weakness for Christ's sake. And then he's also said this, when I am weak, then I am strong. And I just, there's a truth there and a principle there that I know I need to grow in it, because I can tell you there's times where we can feel strong and it's because our own self-will is getting its way, because things are falling into place in the way we like and the way we want. And I don't mean we have to be necessarily thinking it's unspiritual if just because things are going well for us, but there's a warning there that I just know for myself, like, I can somehow think that I'm doing well and doing strong when it's going good for me. And Paul is saying, rather, when I feel weak, when I know I have to depend on the Lord to get through this situation, when I'm feeling my own resources and strength stripped away from me, then I'm actually strong. Then I'm strong. Then he's found the power. Then he's found the true godliness and the true power of God. Okay, I'll keep going for the sake of time. It says, I become foolish for yourselves, for you yourselves compelled me. Actually, I should have been commended by you, for in no respect was I inferior to the most eminent apostles, even though I am a nobody. And that word, the most eminent apostles, it can be translated like super apostles, like the men that you're esteeming as true men of God, Corinthians, these people you're looking up to, because they couldn't discern. They couldn't discern between the soul and the spirit. They couldn't discern between a soulish power, a soulish strength that drew glory to itself and pushed its own way onto people. Pushed, like, controlled and pushed. It's like they couldn't discern it. And I don't say this like Jason. I'm wary myself because I've been there of thinking I had this discernment and I was just looking around judging others. It was a false discernment. It was like a Pharisee discernment that looked down on everybody. But there is a benefit in being able to discern the true power of God and those who possess it, only because then we know who we want to follow. We know who we can look up to and esteem. And that's why Paul was telling them, like, listen, I should be esteemed by you, Corinthians, not because of any greatness of myself, but because as you follow me, you're going to find you're following Christ. Whereas if you follow these others, eminent apostles, who are strong in their souls, who are happy to take your money and take advantage of you, you're not going to end up you're following Christ at the end. He says, I'm a nobody. But then he goes on to talk about some of the signs and different things. But I think let's skip down to verse 19. In verse 19, he helps to give even more clarity on why he's sharing these things. He says, all this time, you have been thinking that we are actually defending ourselves to you. Actually, it is in the sight of God that we have been speaking Christ, and all for your upbuilding, beloved. You think I'm defending myself? You think I'm here trying to defend Paul to you, Corinthians? It was dual. He did want them to understand that he had been given a gift and a ministry by God, because to the extent that they accepted what Paul said, it would help them. But he's saying, truly what I'm telling you, these examples I'm giving about being made weak and finding the power of God and human weakness, he says, I'm actually preaching Christ to you. This is not just about Paul and Paul's thorn in the flesh. This is the way of Christ. This is the way of Christ. This is the way of the New Jerusalem. That we, as those who are partaking of that, who want to be found as those in the holy city, we will have to embrace that same weakness. It may not look the same as Paul. Actually, I can tell you, virtually for all of us, it will look dramatically different. But it will be those things which make us weak. I think of a mother, right? Like, it can seem like it's just so obvious when you got young kids, right? Like, nothing goes according to plan. Nothing can, like, there's days where you're like, surely it would be better, God, if I could have gotten a little time to read my Bible in the morning or do different things on the agenda. And I don't know, like, I just think many times God's saying, like, no, this is my way. It's making you weak, and you're learning to depend on me. And it's good to spend time reading the Word. It's good to set aside time, even as a mother, to do this. But what is most important is that we learn to find the grace of God in the difficult situations he brings us. I thought about it with my work, like at other times. Surely God, and not maybe more in the past, no, still recently, even today. Surely, God, it would be better if I didn't feel all this pressure. Surely, God, it would be better if I didn't feel that I can't do what's being asked of me. No, not necessarily. If we're seeking after our own and putting strain on ourselves because we're trying to make ourselves rich, yeah, that is troublesome. But if God leads us into a path and brings us into a place where we feel like we're beyond our strength to accomplish that which is asked of us, and somehow we think maybe that's drawing us away from God, well, maybe it's an opportunity where God is seeking to make us weak, that we would be found and be able to seek out and find our grace in him. Okay, a couple more verses. It says in verse 20, for I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you be not what I wish, and may be found by you not to be what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, anger, tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbances. This is all fruit of not being willing to die. This is all fruit of not embracing the weakness and humility of Christ. Because when we have strife, when we have jealousy, when we have anger, and I can point the finger directly at myself on these things, when we have disputes, what are we seeking? We're seeking our own way and our own strength. Resisting God, resisting others who may be allowed by God to challenge us, to strip us down a notch or two, to take a little bit from us. What are we doing? We're resisting it because we don't want to be weak. We want what's ours. We want our rights. We want what we think is entitled to us. And Paul's saying it's rampant here in the church because you're not allowing yourselves to be made weak. Rather, you're seeking to be strong and this gospel you're getting from these eminent Babylonian apostles, it doesn't ask you to die. It may ask you to give a bit of your money. It may ask some other things. It may ask you for regular attendance at church. It can ask you for a lot of things, but it doesn't ask you to die. It doesn't ask you to embrace being made weak and accept that this is the way of the cross. Chapter 13, verse 3. Since you are seeking for proof, the Corinthians were so confused by these two examples of Christ they were seeing. One example that was doing miracles and so powerful and mighty speakers. It says that elsewhere, that they were confused that these mighty preachers in front of them doing these mighty things. Why don't we see Paul like that? I don't know. Like, are you sure Paul's got the right gospel here? Because I don't see that same power and might that I'm seeing in these other guys. I don't see that in Paul necessarily. Sometimes he seems like, the last time he was here, he's really sick. And other of these guys say we don't have to be sick at all. But here's Paul, kind of sick, and he seemed kind of weak, and he was maybe crying and doing different things. I don't get it. Well, Paul says, if you're seeking proof, if you're seeking proof for Christ, who does speak in me, and who is not weak towards me, but mighty in you, for indeed he was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we will live with him because of the power of God directed towards you. It's not going to change, Corinthians. You're only going to see a testimony that is devoid of human strength and continuing to be made weak. If you follow the path I'm taking, if you follow me as I follow Christ, Corinthians, it is not going to be a path of human power and human esteem and all these things that you're looking for in these other preachers. It is going to be a path of weakness. It is going to be a path of humility. It is going to be a path of grace. And it is going to be a path of the true power of God that allows you to overcome. That allows you, I know we're running short on time, but I just want to quickly read a little bit more in 1 Corinthians, because I read the testimony of the church there, that they were striving in anger and fighting. We'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is, like, as I said, this is a theme throughout his letters to the Corinthians. In chapter 4, verse 8, it says, you've already become filled, you've become rich, you have become kings without us. And indeed, I actually wish you were kings, Corinthians. I wish you were reigning in Christ, because I'd be happy to reign with you. But listen, this is what a true individual reigning in Christ looks like. For I think that God has exhibited us apostles, last of all, as men condemned to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. For we are fools for Christ's sake. Corinthians, you want to be wise. You want to have people esteem you as thinking you're wise and smart. It says that. I think I should have just kept reading. We become fools for Christ, but you're very wise in Christ. But you know what? We're willing to be called fools. We're willing to be called those who are without learning or without all the education or all these other things. We're willing to look foolish for Christ, Corinthians, but you're seeking to look with some kind of prudence. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are without honor. To this present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty and poorly clothed and are roughly treated and we're homeless. This is the testimony, Corinthians. This is the testimony. And they weren't getting this testimony from the other preachers. Again, he's trying to contrast the true way of Christ with what they were hearing. And we toil, working with our hands. There's no easy path here. We have a testimony that we're not seeking even to have what is entitled to us. We'd rather work with our hands so that you don't have to give us anything in return. But here's the power. I mean, there's power already in what was shared. But it says, when we are reviled, we bless. When somebody speaks evil of us, I have blessing in my heart towards them. Whereas you, Corinthians, you have strife and anger and jealousy. Or you, Joel, have strife and anger and jealousy. When somebody reviles you and takes you down a notch or two, is your heart to bless them? To say, God's allowing this for my good? I have blessing in my heart? Or do you revile back? When we are persecuted, we endure. We're not grumbling and complaining and saying, God, why did you allow this? This is unfair. We endure it. When we slandered, when people speak false things about us, when people are spreading lies about us, we try to conciliate. We're not trying to go out there and tell everybody they're wrong and maybe tear them down so people don't believe them and realize that we're the truth. Rather, they're seeking a reconciliation. We're seeking to try and convince some that they might be saved. We're not out there fighting back, fighting slander with slander. We have become as the scum of the world, the dregs of all things until now. And this is important. I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as beloved children. We can read these things, and even as I read them today, they're not to shame us. They're not to say and make us compare ourselves with Paul and say, well, I might as well just give up because I'm so far from this. But he's admonishing them as children, saying, I love you guys. I want you to understand this is the way. This is the way. You would have countless tutors in Christ, but you would not have many fathers. In Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I exhort you, be imitators of me. Be imitators of me. Understand that this is God's way. This is the way of the New Jerusalem, where those who are ruling and reigning there are those who have learned and understood that God will make us weak. It's coming. It is his way. But in that, we can find the true power of God. That gives us a true godliness, not an outward show that needs to be protected through strife and fighting and defending ourselves when people speak evil of us, but a true power of God that is from within. And I think it's important to, because I say these things even today with myself, not saying that I've arrived. We don't say these things for shame, but we do say these things and understand what Paul is preaching so that we understand the path. We can be admonished and say, I want to go further that way. And the next time God is making me weak, I hope I remember these things and remember this is God's way. And by faith, I can access God's power in this situation. I can access his grace, which is made perfect through the difficulties that come.